Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with gut healing coach Courtney Smith. Courtney and I spoke about parasites, functional testing, PMS cravings, rashes and acne, kombucha, brain fog, and more. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now, on to my conversation with Courtney. Courtney Smith, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
I'm very excited to speak with you today to talk about all things gut health and digestion. And I would love to just simply start off with the question, what's the main thing you're excited for our listeners to learn today?
Well, I feel like you already kind of said it. I love talking about the gut. I love talking about people's digestion, your people's poop with them, their parasites, whatever's going on, and anything, yeah, gut related that really lights me up.
Awesome. Well, excited to hear that. And I'd love to know now how you even got into gut healing coaching.
Absolutely. I'm like, how much time do we got? Because I feel like it's been years, but I would say what really got me into the whole holistic health industry is my own experiences myself that I was having and not having the support, from doctors, from the medical system that I was hoping to get, that really led me to taking my health into my own hands. Because the best way I can describe how I felt was I was literally a walking zombie. Like every single day for somebody being 20 years old, I was like, there's no way I should feel like this. But to kind of give a little bit of a backstory to that is I had a whole cascade of transitions entering like the fitness space, the weight loss space, but then I ended up going into bodybuilding. And it's crazy now because it's like I can look back and I'm like, oh, well, it makes so much sense. But in the time that it was happening, there wasn't a lot about gut health being out there and like the importance of gut health symptom-wise, what was really going on. And for a 20-year-old, like during COVID and everything, because at the time I was a hairstylist. So I wasn't really like doing exactly what I'm doing now, obviously, but I was shut down. So I had no money. I couldn't get the proper test. I didn't even really know that like functional testing for GI maps and everything was even a thing at that time. So it was really like a lot of like research that I had to do with myself to take myself from like a walking zombie to feeling somewhat human again. But when I look back at it now, I had gut issues when I was a child, but didn't know that those specific things were gut issues. And then that cascaded when I was 16, I was a drug addict. And obviously, like that overabundance of toxins, alcohol, drugs, substances, smoking, like that just increases so much inflammation in the body and like a toxic overload. And then we look at birth control, we look at medications, I was always on antibiotics when I was a child as well. I was really sick a lot of the time. So back then, I was like, those don't really matter. But looking now, I'm like, oh no, they make the biggest difference on that. And it's like the way I like to explain it to people is like, people are like, it's my genetics, and all of those things. It's like your body, and your genetics hold the bullets, but your lifestyle and environment are going to pull that trigger. So it was like this little snowball in me that just kept growing and growing and growing and growing until it got so big that I couldn't ignore it. And that's what led to like my daily symptoms. But from my childhood, my teenagehood, and then getting like moving out and going into bodybuilding, then you pack on everything else I was doing, steroids, and just kept going from there, stress, low calorie, and then my body kind of just shut down after that. And I dealt with daily chronic symptoms for a really long time. And I remember specifically going in and like, getting labs done, going to specialists and just having no hope. And it really, really overtook my life for a really long time. So to kind of sum that up, that's exactly really what got me into that. And when I kind of discovered like what gut health really was and like why I was experiencing these things, and I was just kind of told, you have IBS, you have leaky gut. But I'm like, okay, but like how do we fix it? And they're like, well, you can't really fix it. It's kind of just there. And I was like, so I'm gonna live like this now. And I just like couldn't settle for that. And since then it's been like a roller coaster. it was a roller coaster of just getting really good and then getting really bad and never really understanding what was actually happening until a couple of years ago, discovering how important your nervous system is with your gut health and just your entire health as a whole, and then also getting to, parasites, getting to overgrowth, like mold, toxins, and what actually goes into somebody being very unhealthy in today's world. So when I was able to kind of like mush all of this together, that is really when I got really healthy and stayed healthy. And I think every single year that has really, brought more in depth to my practice into the way that we help people. And it just keeps getting like deeper and deeper and deeper because we keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's like a story. I think there's so many things that go into it, but like to give the main points is it's yeah, that's basically gonna sum that up.
Well, I can absolutely hear your passion, and I think the best coaches are sort of born out of their own struggles because we can coach and help the people the best that, or prevent even like them going through the same thing that we have gone through. So thank you for sharing that. And yeah, I think it's great how you have made that your main mission nowadays to help other people. And there's several things I want to get into. The first one being you mentioned parasites a few things. I would love for you to explain to us like what are parasites? How do we get parasites? How do we get rid of parasites? And what sort of symptoms could we see if we have parasites?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a fun topic, honestly. Some people, I get to a point where it's like, okay, everything kind of goes back to parasites. It's basically if you have a pulse, you have a parasite. And no matter what, like we're always going to have also bacteria in our gut, whether that's good or bad, if there's an imbalance, where comes overgrowth, comes more parasites. So I truly believe that every single person has parasites. It's whether is it a problem or not. Like, are they like hosting in your body and like wreaking havoc on your body? And it's so crazy when we look into everything that they're connected with. Some people are like, well, I'm dealing with this. And I'm like, well, parasites, parasites, parasites. And it's just so crazy to see the actual load and impact that they do have on the body. And it's crazy because in North America, like we're not a third world country, but we're also the only country that doesn't have a parasite protocol. In every other country, there's a parasite protocol, which is crazy. But parasites, they are living things in your body. When we think of parasites, you automatically think of a worm. Which there are types of worms as parasites, but most parasites are actually microscopic, and you can't even see them. So your body should like you're intaking them from everything. And I'm not saying this to like scare anybody, and we shouldn't be fearful of them because we can't avoid them. It's up to like our bodies. Are they gonna host them? We need to have a healthy ecosystem that they don't want to live in because they're not going to really survive in a very healthy ecosystem. They should basically, and it's like the same thing with toxins, bacteria, and pathogens, is that they should come in your body and efficiently leave your body because your body's able to naturally detox them out. I think we hear the word detox and it's like, oh, you're thinking of a juice or you're thinking of like a detox, like a pill or something that you're going to take and you're going to basically piss out of your asshole for a couple days and then you're going to call it good. And it doesn't really work like that. Like your body has like a natural detoxification system that all works together to keep you healthy. Like your body always knows what to do. It just needs to be given that right support. So if we look over time with the parasites, like they can come from anything, right? Like they can come from water. They can come, if you go put your feet in the grass, like parasites can enter through your feet because they're like, there's microscopic ones, there's little ones, and it's just so crazy. If you sleep with your pets, like your pets licking your face, like pets can pass you parasites, sexual partners can pass you parasites. There are so many things that go into that. You get it from food. Like if you're eating produce, say if you're somebody who eats sushi, like that alone, like raw foods like that is you're just bound to get them because parasites are a living organism of the earth, and we can't avoid them. But again, they should be able to efficiently pat, like come into your body and leave your body. And where we start to see the issues is where they is when they take host in the body. But most of the time, like I said, they only want to take host in an unhealthy ecosystem. So if you think of your gut as this like beautiful, flourishing ecosystem as it should be, and it has good bugs, but it also has bad bugs. But when the bad bugs kind of overtake, it's gonna, maybe you're not like getting proper food, you're not getting sunlight, you're not getting water, you're not like fertilizing your garden or your ecosystem, then it kind of just starts to wilt and die. And then bad bugs are just gonna overtake it. And that's like what a look into that really looks like. So we could be here for days, really like going through all the different parasites because there's so many. And honestly, I don't even know how to like really pronounce half of them. Like, there is just so many, but they are more than just worms. They are, again, microscopic. And no matter what, is like, I truly believe that everybody should be doing like detoxing parasites out of their body, like at minimum, like 2 times a year, because we're just intaking them all the time and we don't even know it. But for the people that say have poor lifestyles, maybe like when like me when I was a child, I was on antibiotics a lot of the time, and that's really harsh on your gut. That is a big contributor to overgrowth. That's a big contributor to leaky gut. And like I said, where comes like one thing is going to come where they can come in there and basically take host on your body. So, with that being said, there's so many symptoms that go back to parasites, and it's crazy because I just like automatically I'm like just everything now. And obviously, the biggest one is probably persistent gut issues, that if you feel like you're doing everything under the sun, nothing's getting better, we have to ask a bigger question to why. And my team and I, we are able to provide functional testing, like a GI map, to get that really comprehensive look as to what's actually happening in the gut. But we like to take it the next step further because we understand things that are going to come back on that, like say like a candida overgrowth, which is fungus, or it does test for parasites. But the thing also with parasites is they reside in more than just your stools, and the GI map is a stool test. So they're going to affect your like your organs, your muscles, and your tissues. So they can, it usually 90% of the time comes back negative for parasites. The odd people are going to come back positive. There's going to be, like, I think I said overgrowth, like testing your bacteria, like your low, anything you're low in, anything you're really high in, any infections like H. pylori, say like E. coli. I personally have salmonella right now, which I'm on a protocol for, which is crazy. So things like that. But we understand that that doesn't give us the full picture. We need to ask the bigger questions, like why are parasites and like why are you having these issues really in the first place? And when you look at infections, they definitely can cause those, but most of the time it's coming from an environment or a lifestyle. And like I mentioned, like we look at like all our food nowadays, how ultra processed it is. Like our soil is so depleted that we're not actually getting proper mineral consumption. And then we look at the use of pesticides, which is basically, I heard this. I'm in another practitioner certification right now, and he explained it like this. And it's like, you're eating bug spray. That is what you are doing. Literally, you are eating bug spray because pesticides are meant to kill bugs that you're basically eating off. And that is putting so much of a toxin burden on like in your body that it is wearing down everything else. And it's like thinking of your body and your health as this like rain barrel. And when we impact it and it gets filled from ultra processed foods, poor diet, lack of sleep, stress, medications, alcohol, drugs, just life stress, because we look at the world today, it's like, how, like, are you overfilling? And mostly any, like, literally anybody who is having like constant symptoms, like day to day, week to week, then we need to look at like how full is that rain barrel. And like what we want to do is we want to address those imbalances and deficiencies. And it all comes back to that. And that's kind of sidebar from parasites. But where we see it's like with the like having those roadmaps, we need to look at like what is actually happening to the person as a whole well-being and really work from there to address the parasites. But to sum that up, yeah, like parasites can lead to any issue, like persistent gut issues, like I said. it's linked to ADHD, ADD, stuff like that, anxiety, depression, hormonal issues. If you have poor gut health, you're gonna have hormone issues no matter what. We're looking at like your liver, all your like lymphatic drainage systems are all connected, like one, like together. And there's just so many things that, yeah, come back to that, like skin rashes, acne, all of it's, I think the best way to put this, like everything is like a domino effect. So if one of those systems is affected, the other one is as well. So that's kind of sidepart. I feel
Yeah.
like I could keep going on and on and
No,
on
thank
about
you so much. That was like
this.
super interesting. And I think, especially that you mentioned the lifestyle aspect is so important because often we think, well, the gut is only related to what we put into it, like literally in terms of food or drink. I think it's becoming a bit more well known that like stress and those sorts of things has an impact, but I don't think people quite grasp how much everything else, like down to your skincare, your cleaning products, and the air that you're breathing, et cetera, is like literally affecting our gut as well. So I think that was really, really helpful. I'm interested to hear about that sort of quote unquote detox protocol that you mentioned that everyone should or could be doing twice a year, in addition to obviously our gut or our liver detoxing every single day and just supporting our liver as best as we can. But yeah, what does that detox protocol generally include?
Yeah, so it really is gonna be bio individual to each person. Obviously, with like what we do, it is just dependent on like where they're at and what different overgrowth that they have going on, right? But as a general, like I would say parasite detox is there are like certain steps to it. So I think right now parasites are kind of, I know a mild grow than they're trending, but maybe that's just because that's what I talk about and post about. But I have multiple people who ask me about them, and specifically people are like, oh, well, I bought this from like the drugstore, like I'm gonna just do it. And I'm like, that is such a bad way to go about it, and there's no way to sugarcoat that, because that can actually be very, very dangerous. And when there's not steps done properly, like parasites and overgrowth, like candida overgrowth, say, is, which is a yeast overgrowth, is when you actually take these supplements and you try to go detox them out of your body. Well, these things don't want to leave your body. So they're going to do whatever they can to stay there, because they've now, again, taken host on your body. And they're going to give off byproducts of things like heavy metals, mold, toxins, bacteria, pathogens, or heavy metal. Like, I think I said heavy metals, but they're going to give all of that. And like, that's going to like, basically, if the steps aren't taken for this, it's gonna basically reabsorb and recirculate in your body, and that is gonna cause a lot of issues. I specifically, we had one client who she thought she had a parasite. This was a while ago, and she went and bought, a parasite cleanse from a health food store, and she did it, and she did not feel better. She felt so shitty that she also ended up gaining 40 pounds, and her symptoms got 10 times worse, just like that. And that is going to show, like, obviously, the proper steps aren't done for that. And like, all those things that they released, and they just went inside of her body and were recirculating in there. So, the thing about detoxing naturally is, again, it's not from a certain pill, it's not from a juice, it's from a lifestyle change and an environment change. And it's like looking at stress is a big one, because that is going to impact everything. If your body's not in a state of like being in a parasympathetic state, which is your rest and digest, it is going to keep you in fight or flight. And that just kind of shuts off like all the digestive functions. That doesn't allow you to actually recover. And it's going to promote more leaky gut, which is promoting more of these toxins and, food particles and bad things entering your bloodstream. And then we're moving backwards. Now we're not moving forward. So to really get to like naturally detox, we want to start working at your liver and your kidneys, because your kidneys is going to filter and clean your blood. So if you don't have clean blood, you're not really healthy. Another thing that we need to look at is like we're made up of trillions of cells. Like we are basically one, like these, we're just made up of these cells. And if they're unhealthy, you're going to be unhealthy. So we need to work at that cellular level. And when you're somebody who's, say, taken in a lot of stress, and now we basically all have stress or trauma to somebody, can basically be a breakup. right? It can be the littlest thing. It's going to be how you perceive it and how your body holds that. But like your cells will hold on to that. If you are obviously intaking so many toxins every single day, like that's your cells are going to hold on to that. Your cells are going to hold on to everything. And we want to get to a point where like when your body and your lymphatic drainage system, which it's really like the goal of your lymphatic drainage system, is to move waste through your body, through your cells, and get it to leave your body, like lymphatic drainage. It needs to drain out of your body. So two big keys to that is obviously, well, three big is your gut is going to be your liver and your kidneys. But when those get clogged up with everything else that I've already mentioned, it's like thinking of your body as a fish tank. And you know, and like Finding Nemo when they throw the rock in the filter and they're like, ah, we're gonna die because it's like so gunky and it's gross in there. It's like that's what your body looks like. That is what your body is looking like. So we need to unclog the filters and get it to efficiently like get the bacteria, all the bad things out of it. And that just starts with like supporting liver, supporting your kidneys, supporting your gut, so we can get those systems working. And like that's how you naturally detox water. Yes, you can go supplement stuff in with that, but that should only be added on top of the lifestyle that you're already doing. And you can help yourself with food. You can help yourself with herbs, you know, some lifestyle habits. I think my favorite one right now is probably dry brushing. You know, that's really helping move lymph through your body. Like we already talked about moving the waste through your body, like the toxic cells to leave. Dry brushing before showers is my fave. And then my other favorite right now is hot yoga, because I love hot yoga. You know, sweating as much as you can and getting those systems, opening up those detox drainage pathways. So again, we're like, your skin is your largest organ, and whatever you put on it, it will absorb right away. But your skin is also going to be the best part to help sweat out toxins. And that's the most efficient way to help these leave your body, as well as pooping daily and all of that stuff. So when you like input those two things to start working on, all the other systems and everything else is going to improve. And you can actually start to naturally detox the body, as well as with some supplement support as well, to help with that. And then that step can't be missed if you're going to go into a deeper, say, like a parasite detox. Because, like I already explained, if you skip that step, you're going to have everything recirculate and it's not good for your body. I'll just put it at that. But that's kind of what that can look like. We do them in depth, obviously, in our protocols, because sometimes some things that come back on, say, GI map or in their testing need to kind of be addressed first. You have to prepare the body for a deeper detox. And then also it looks like diet, because if you're constantly eating things that are going to keep feeding that fire and feeding the overgrowth and feeding the parasites, well, it's going to make it a lot harder to have them leave your body. And that's what we need to do. And then following from there, it's a whole nother step on top of that, because you then have to replenish, you have to restore, and you have to rebuild that gut lining to make it really strong. So there's a lot of steps to it, actually, that people don't think about. That is so much more than going to a drugstore and
For
buying a
sure.
bottle.
Yeah, absolutely. It really sounds like it. I love that metaphor of the drained, the clogged drain. That paints a really clear picture. And I also like that you're just saying like, hey, we can, aside from these two or however many annual cleanses, so to speak, we need to do our best to manage our stress, to support our liver through daily action, through the vegetables we consume, and so on. And that brings me a little bit back to what you were saying at the beginning. You mentioned that doing or participating in bodybuilding actually exacerbated your symptoms, your gut health symptoms, or your poor gut health symptoms. And aside from the steroids, I'm curious as to why or in which manner. Was it the dieting slash gaining itself? Was it the repetitiveness of the meals, a combination of all of them? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it was like a combination of it all. Honestly, it is very, very common that we have bodybuilders that reach out to us to work with us post show, because for one, we mainly work with women, and as women, our bodies naturally were never meant to get that lean, like ever. If you're losing your period, your body is not safe. Like, genetically, your body is meant to, produce, like have babies. Like that is like what a woman is basically was put here to basically do. So when you lose that period, your body loses that sense of safety, and it's put under so much stress. And that when the hormonal cycle is off, throwing everything else is. And like when you are bodybuilding and you go to that low of like calories and extremes and like that body fat percentage, that is just stress on stress on stress. And like again, that's keeping your body in a sympathetic state, which is your fight or flight. And when that's happening, like I already mentioned, but your digestive functions are thrown off. Like you're just pumping out cortisol at that point. Like what's happening from there? And that's like impacting your thyroid. That's impacting nervous system. Absolutely everything is impacted during that time. So when you are bodybuilding and you're constantly in that state of fight or flight, you are super low calorie. You're not having even enough calories for a cycle. You are just constantly not even recovering. As women, we're like meant to be slower creatures. Like we're meant to slow down. We're meant to rest and recover more. And when we don't have that, our body loses that safety. And all it does, I think the most beautiful part about our bodies is they only ever try to protect us. And I think sometimes we can be like, oh, my body hates me. Why is it doing this? And I used to say the same thing. And but when we can take a different perspective on it, that our body's really just trying to keep like you safe, and all it wants to do is have you thrive, not survive, but it has to be given those right tools to do that. So with bodybuilding, obviously there's a whole, for myself, a history before that of things that impacted my nervous system, my toxic load, antibiotics, stress, drugs, all of those things, and then impact it, and then birth control for years too, and that alone. Birth control, alcohol, and I like to say, I heard it from one of my friends a long time ago that Anavar is a like steroid that a lot of females typically take, and it's an oral steroid. It is basically birth control on steroids. And what birth control does to your gut and your liver, well, it acts as an antibiotic. And antibiotics are going to completely, and same with alcohol, wipe your good and bad bacteria, and it just destroys your gut microbiome, and it is so harsh on your liver. So when those two things are impacted, we just see a whole other array of issues with things. So I look at all of that, and I look at myself with the time too. I was in, I was in a toxic relationship. So that's a more even on my nervous system. And I think, yeah, after that, my body just kind of was like, no, girl, like you're being chose to slow down now. Like we can't do this. Yeah. Does that answer the question?
I think that's a wonderful reminder that generally our bodies just want to keep us safe or want the best for us. We do tend to forget that or fight our bodies as opposed to working with our bodies. So I think that's a great reminder. And I do hear and see that often if we are eating also like not just in terms of quantity, but that repetitively. So like nothing but rice, chicken, broccoli, and oats, perhaps, and protein powder. You're not really enhancing your gut microbiome or your gut diversity. And I think that that over time, especially, actually creates some gut health issues where you're creating like intolerances. And then afterwards, after a few years of eating that way, you're like, oh, I can't eat this and this and this and that anymore. That's because your body has kind of forgotten how to process. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Like a healthy gut, like the most healthy gut is the most diverse gut. And I like to say that, we have been given everything that we need to truly be healthy from foods from the earth. Like we've been given, the sun, we've been given water, we've been given herbs, we've been given nuts, we've been given specific fruits and vegetables, and even like animal proteins, like they have purposes and jobs and like the benefits that, that are supposed to provide us for our body and our health. And we've been giving everything that we need to thrive. And that's why there's just so much diversity out there. And every single one of those foods has a power tool. And that's something we really focus on inside of the coaching that we do with people is like really learning how to use this food as your power tool. Because when you have a lot of diversity, you're going to get all the different vitamins, you're going to get all the different minerals, and nutrients and different types of proteins that your body really, really does need. And you're supposed to feel so good. And like what happens in the bodybuilding world, like you said, is that you're restricting a lot of that. And then pack on like supplements, pack on, I don't care what anybody says. Protein powders are processed foods, for one. They are one of the better ultra processed foods. And depending on the brand that you're going with, like this is, it's really important to look in the brands that you're using. And like, because a lot of them actually just filled with gums, binders, artificial sweeteners, and heavy metals that are going into your body and also just wreaking more havoc on your gut and you as a whole well-being. So with like having minimal diversity for one, and then the stress and then packing on all those supplements, it literally just breeds inflammation. That's what happens. And then people come out of their show and they go and eat whatever, or they try to eat more food. And it's like, okay, well, now there's been so much inflammation and chronic stress that's happened to the body that the chronic stress has led to a leaky gut. You know, you haven't been getting the proper fiber that you need. And that's when they start to see issues arise and they wonder why.
Yeah, that's a I totally agree with that, and that's absolutely what I've seen and heard as well anyway. I'm curious about one other thing because I think it's quite controversial, and I mean, we also know that generally speaking, probiotics are good for a healthy gut. I think one that's often sort of disputed is like kombucha. And I'd love because I saw you were talking about that on your social media, so I just love to hear you explain like, is it good? Is it bad? If so, what do we look out for if we buy or make our own?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about kombucha, and it's not bad. Like kombucha is not bad. It does have probiotics in it, and probiotics are, you know, going to, they are good bacteria that needs to be in your gut. Like you need the bacteria in your gut. There's no doubt about that. But the issue that happens here is bacteria, like overgrowth feeds off of bacteria. Say if you were somebody who has Candida overgrowth, which is a yeast overgrowth, that yeast is going to feed off of those probiotics. So if we're seeing something feeding off of this, like that issue is going to get bigger. So when we look at probiotics, what has happened in that process to make it a probiotic? It's all fermented. Even when you look at like sauerkraut, you look at yogurts, you like kimchi, all of that process has to be fermented. So it has, and same with sourdough. That's another common one with this right now that's trending is sourdough. And for some people that are low in that beneficial bacteria and say they don't really have an overgrowth, yeah, like kombucha is a great choice for that. You know, the other probiotics are, even if you are buying one off the shelf, but like the thing and the issue with this is 90 to 95% of people are dealing with bacterial overgrowth in their gut or dealing with a parasitic infection overgrowth. And what you're doing by drinking the kombucha is you're making the problem worse. You're feeding it to get bigger. And another thing with like kombucha and fermentation, like it's fermented most times by sugar as well. So another thing that, you know, say like yeast overgrowth or bacterial overgrowth, a parasites, what they feed on is sugar as well. So it gets to be this like this just this big poop loop, literally, that again, the domino effect, it's all going to affect each other. So long story short is that probiotics are not bad for you. It's going to be dependent on each person. And I don't think anybody should just go and take probiotics
Yeah, I think
because
aside from kombucha, I think that's so important. Quite often, people are just like, "What supplements am I supposed to take?" And usually, it's like vitamin C, probiotics, and like they don't know what strains they're missing. Number one, so you know, like you're probably just generically supplementing, and number two, they're still not feeding those probiotics with the proper prebiotics. So even the ones that you were missing, they're probably not going to survive in there. So I think really good point. And I would argue that probably most of the kombucha that are on the conventional shelves, they're too sweet, they're not fermented enough, or then if you make it yourself, like it's kind of hard to say at what level to stop that fermentation. So I think that note of caution on the kombucha is definitely warranted. And there were a couple more things I wanted to touch on. Obviously, I want to make sure I'm respecting your time, but I'm curious if you have some tips, like generally speaking, for people how they can prevent acne or rashes or brain fog and cravings, all these sorts of things from a nutritional perspective or even lifestyle perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many like things that you can do, but I could sit here and just like fire off so many. But I kind of want to just give like a general couple of like where to start. But I think the biggest thing for anybody is you need to stop. If you are dealing with those things, I wouldn't say like much more, like your lifestyle is obviously going to prevent those things. But if you're somebody who, want like you're already dealing with them is I think one of the best things you can do if you can is to test for it, like if you're already struggling. But on the other end is like you can take all the tests in the world and get the answers, but if you're still not willing to change the lifestyle, then nothing's gonna change. It's like you can take like all the medications in the world and rely on them, but it's not actually fixing the issue and like the lifestyle is. So for anybody, I think the most important thing that you can do is stop feeding the fire and contributing to that. And I'm big on the anti-inflammatory diet. I don't really like to use the word diet. It's just a lifestyle at this point. It's like it's right in the name, anti-inflammatory. And really, the root of diseases is really coming from inflammation in the gut. So, if we really think about that, and like my own belief with this, and I want to say my own belief because this is what I strongly believe in from the research, all the women that we've helped is, well, in order to really like give your gut its best chance to heal, is we need to bring down the inflammation. Because if you're constantly feeding that inflammation and you're making it bigger, like your gut is just getting more and more inflamed. And that's where that's where everything is kind of starting from. So for me, I love to eat like 80, 90. That's where I feel my best. For people that are just starting, I'm like, okay, cool. Can we look at like 60 or can we look at 70 and start making those little changes along the way? If you're somebody that's in, say you're really struggling with like eczema, you have psoriasis, you have an autoimmune condition, you have persistent gut issues that aren't getting better, like we wanna get to the reason on why that's happening. And for people that we see that we're taking through those protocols, with those overgrowths, there is a point, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Like, we have to cut some foods out. Like, we have to. It's not forever, it is a temporary thing, but we can't keep feeding the fire. We want to reduce it because I think once you start eating that way and you realize how good your body feels, you almost don't want to go back. And it's kind of like a big, I always talk about when you're starting to bring inflammation down, you're draining that rain barrel. You're bringing the inflammation down the body. Your body does like a big like sigh, when you have like a, there's been like a weight lifted off your shoulders, maybe you had a hard conversation or something like that. You're just like, oh, that's what your body does. And that's when we're actually able to enter it into that parasympathetic state, is by bringing down that inflammation. So an anti-inflammatory diet, I think, is just like the best place anybody can start. And now it's going to be a little bit more bio-individual for some, because there's going to be like some people like, hey, that's on an anti-inflammatory list, but when I eat that, I'm still having, issues. And that's where it gets to be a little bit more complexity goes into that with each person. But I think if you can start there, and then the second thing, I have three things. I think the second thing that anybody can benefit from is reducing your toxic load. So how can we look at supporting your liver? My favorite ways is by starting with food first. My favorite one is grapefruit. You can eat beets, dark bitter greens. Arugula is another favorite one of mine. Also supporting your kidneys. Cilantro is really good for that. You can look at dandelion root, dandelion greens, supporting those systems, along with if you can add in castor oil packs or sauna. Like, how can we get you sweating? And if you're somebody who we've worked with a lot of women, they're like, I don't sweat. I'm like, that's a huge issue. That is a huge issue. So it's like those little lifestyle things that we can do. It's like maybe you just go lay in the sun and you sweat for a couple hours. That's gonna help. That's gonna be really, really big for your body. And then the third one is going to be nervous system, because you cannot do any of the rest of this and get your body into a place of harmony if your nervous system is just like, I think better words is tweaked, literally, because mine used to be. We recently actually just took one of our clients through a whole parasite protocol. She did H. pylori, we did whole nine yards. And when we were able to put all of this together for her and finally get to the point where her body could handle a stronger protocol with the parasites, when she was excreting them out of her body, she was like, my nervous system has never felt so calm, never felt so calm in her life. And it's because we did all the prior work to that to be able to handle that. But with parasites, circling back to that, they feed off of your neurotransmitters as well. So that alone is going to keep your body in a state of fight or flight. But when you come around from all these different aspects of addressing the person, addressing the nervous system, addressing their gut, their lifestyle environment, that's when you see those incredible results. And I know that each person is capable of doing it, but if you can only start like, say, like three places, your diet's going to be everything. It will make or break the entire process. People, you're not really what you eat, but you are what you absorb. And if your gut's not absorbing any of this, and your gut is just absorbing, say, like food sprayed with bug spray, basically, what do you think you are? You're filled with that. And then supporting your body's natural systems to get the bad stuff out of it. And then also the nervous system, because that's going to bring you into a state of peace, I would say.
I love it, Courtney. That's super, super actionable. And we're all about the actionable steps here. So, anti-inflammatory diet, liver support, and stress system, or optimizing stress management. Really, really cool. I know that you also have a free guide on your website or on your page. So, I'm going to make sure to link that. And I just really want to thank you for your time today. This has been super informative. And I hope people will go and check out all your content.
Thank you so much for having me. Like I said, this is something I can talk about all day. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to message me. We're actually just coming out with a toxicity quiz this week where you can, if you want to do it, you can assess where your toxic load is at, and you'll kind of see where you're at with that. And I know
Super.
it'd be extremely beneficial for a lot of people just to build self-awareness, really.
Absolutely. Awareness is everything. I love it. Thank you, Courtney.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Courtney. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go. If you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. And feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.